God is good
all the time.
All the time. Amen.
Amen.
So, dear church family, there's three letters that I think we all don't want to hear. These three letters, when you hear it, you don't have a good feeling inside. It's called IRS. Unless I guess you work for the IRS. But we don't want to hear a whole lot about IRS because we think about, oh, got to get the taxes done, you got to get all that situated. You hope, pray that you don't owe anything, right? When you finish your and you do you hand in your taxes, and that's I think part of what we hear in the gospel. They talk about taxes. Say, what about paying to Caesar? And the question is put before our Lord. What do we owe? What do they owe to Caesar? And what do they owe to God? So I want to talk about what we owe. And I want to go to the readings. And King David, he was helping this farmer. He had all this livestock. And he was with his army, and he guarded the livestock all night. And he did this without getting paid. He just did it as an act of mercy. And once he did this, the servants, they saw this, and they told the owner of the livestock. And they said, look, this is what this soldier did. They protected the livestock all night. They did this selfless act of service. And the owner didn't care. He didn't want to give them food. You know, they were in need. They were hungry. They were thirsty. But he didn't want to pay them anything. And so instead of being grateful, he was just arrogant. And so he didn't want to show any gratitude. So King David wanted to slaughter all the livestock as a way of showing justice. And the wife of the owner came. She heard about what was happening. And she came, and she got all this food and everything ready. And she came, and she had the servants go before her. And she asked for forgiveness to King David. She said, look, I'm sorry this happened to you. You know, asked for forgiveness. And she gave them the food that they needed to survive. It wasn't like they were asking for gold or silver. And so he said, this was something that was great. The Lord saw the injustice, right? And he paid him this act of mercy. He showed mercy and didn't receive mercy in the beginning, but now he did. He received gratitude payment for what he did, his service, right? Because we all deserve payment when we serve. So after he realized it's God who made this happen. And the night before, the owner was drinking and really happy, partying, and he basically was struck, unfortunately, with a disease, and he lost his life. It was like God's justice working there, mercy and justice. You know, there was a father who had his son come to him. It was Halloween, and he'd worked two shifts, you know. He had an overnight shift. He'd working all night, then he worked during the day. He was tired, right? And his wife was not able to take their son trick-or-treating. So he wanted to just take a nap. And his son just kept badgering him. He said he wanted to go out. He had his costume on. He wanted to go trick-or-treating. He just kept nagging his dad to take him out. And he said he's tired. He needs a nap. And so he gave him a magazine. And he took a page out of the magazine. He ripped it into several pieces, and it had a map on one side, and he gave it to his son, and he said, look, this is a puzzle, put it together. After you put it together, we'll go out trick-or-treating. And so he figured it would take him at least maybe an hour or more, and 15 minutes later, he came back, and he got it all pasted together, because the other side was an image. We heard in the gospel about the image. What image is this on this coin? There was an image of a Nike shoe. So he understood, like, it was easy to put it together because it had a sneaker and it had the Nike logo. He knew what to do. It was very easy for him to put it together because something he was familiar with, that image, right? God, our Heavenly Father, imprinted an image on us in Genesis,
yes.
Right? God gave us the image that reflects Him,
yes.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we know that we have an intellect, we have a will, and we have a body. And so God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is one. He has an intellect. He has a will. He didn't have a physical body, right, in Genesis, before the incarnation, but he had a body, in the sense he's one, that oneness. Angels don't have a physical body, they have a spiritual body, but there's that oneness. So God imprinted that image on us, because we have a body, soul, and spirit. And once they disobeyed God, they fell into sin. There was this injustice, you know, because God gave them everything. And yet, they believed the father of lies, Satan. Satan, they believed him. You know, Eve and Adam, they surrendered their authority, right, to Satan. They paid him attention. He didn't deserve to be paid attention to. He's not creator, he's not Lord. But they paid attention to him, and they obeyed him, right? They gave him his due by following his authority, which was a false authority. It was a lie. And so they fell into making a mar on the image in their soul. So it was distorted, the image. They couldn't have the image reflecting God, right? So the God's presence, his grace, was not clear, right? It was, their soul was dirty with sin. It was disfigured. The image didn't look like what God created. And so they didn't give what God was due, which is what? Obedience. Obeying that one commandment. Now we have 10. And on top of 10, we have other teachings from the church that gives us how to live a moral life, how to live like Christ. So we have what God is owed, which is everything. We owe God everything, their obedience to his will. Amen?
Yes, amen. Yeah.
So God's will, God's commandment, we owe God that. And that's what our Lord has said, give God what is due. And when he says that, he really means everything. He's showing that there's nothing that we don't owe God. We woke up this morning, we owe God. Amen?
Amen.
God created us. He brought us into existence. That was his first act of mercy. The fact that we have existence is part of God's mercy. Because we didn't pray for it, right? We didn't ask God to create us. God, out of his mercy, created us. And because of his mercy, he redeemed us. And again, because of his mercy, he sanctifies us. Meaning he makes us more like Jesus, right? Being holy just means to be more like our Lord, to live like our Lord. That's all it really means, to live like our Lord as a disciple of Christ. And so the image that God imprinted on us, on Adam and Eve, was not there, right? And so once our Lord came, he wanted to make that image be visible, to reflect God's presence, for us to be in a state of grace, because we fell from the state of grace. So our Lord, like that boy, our Lord, the Son of God, he put the pieces together. They were all scattered. Everything was scattered, right? No one understood God. Who was God? People had different languages. People were all around the world. There was this disunity. Right? There was this unity between us and God, and between us and each other. So we needed someone to put the pieces together to make it whole. And one would come together, then we have the image. Right? So if I'm just here, like during the pandemic, with every priest celebrating the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Can I celebrate Mass on my own? Yes. But does it reflect the image that God wants? No. Because the image that God wants to reveal to us is the kingdom of heaven. And only together do we form that image. Amen? So every one of us has a role, a piece to play in that puzzle. Together we form the image of the body of Christ. And when God the Father sees that image reflected of the face of Jesus when us coming together, then we see the glory of God. The glory of God on earth when we all come together as a church family. When we come together as a church family, the image is reflected, which is the kingdom of God. And so the glory of God is here right now because we reflect Jesus in our soul. Amen? Amen? So our Lord wants us to constantly see what we owe to God as citizens of heaven. But we're also citizens of the United States of America. So we owe our country obedience to civil law, right? We obey the traffic lights. You know, we listen and we are respectful to our first responders, police officers, right, firefighters. There has to be a structure, a system of civil law, and we have that obedience, right? And we don't infringe on other people's religious freedom. You know, people have different religions and different faiths. We respect other people's religion, other faith. So we have this civil law, but it has to reflect the natural law and the divine law. But if it doesn't reflect the natural law, divine law, then we don't obey. Because we only obey to God and not man. Amen?
Amen?
So we know that man, like I said, has a tar image. So sinful man, we have politicians that are, struggle with sin, obviously, elected officials. So we have to have our due diligence. We have to study the catechism, study our faith. Form our conscience by our Catholic faith, and then go out and vote.
Amen?
Amen?
Yep.
So we have to take our responsibility, our duty to vote seriously, because that's part of what God wants. We owe this to our country to vote, to register to vote, and to go out and vote.
Yes.
For the candidates that reflect the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we don't have perfect choices, as we already know, but we have to pick the best that we can, reflecting on our Catholic faith, right? Because the Catholic faith is the logo. We know what the Nike logo is, Reebok or other name brands. We know their logo. Our logo is Jesus.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So we listen to him through the church, because the church is where he lives. The church bears witness to the presence of our Lord. And just know that the Catholic Church exists in all around the world, all around the world. So many languages, so many countries, together in the whole world reflects the body of Christ, the image that God the Father wants to see in the world is the image of our Lord. Because Jesus is the one who makes us one through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we heard about this in St. Paul. St. Paul says, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us what? Conviction.
Yes.
Conviction. We are citizens of heaven. So the devil wants to always, he wants to take away that image. You're like, no. He wants that image to not look like our Lord. Right? He didn't only tempt Adam and Eve, but he tempts us. So what does he do? He wants us not to give what is owed to God. And what we owe to God is worship. We always owe God worship. Not just on Sundays, but the most important day is Sunday, for sure. Because the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath holy. That means to worship God on Sunday. And that's the most important day to worship, to pray. But there's different ways that the devil tries to mar the image. And is by attacking us from not praying.
Yes.
or praying in a way with intention, right? So there's times when we try to pray, and say Ignatius of Loyola, he said, we experience, it's called desolation. What does that mean? That means filling a darkness, an emptiness, distance from God, lack of faith or hope, feelings of despair, restlessness, lack of motivation. So that's called desolation. It's kind of thinking about, you know, maybe bad weather, when it's raining and pouring and it's, you know, there's a fog, you can barely see, you just don't want to get out of your bed, you don't want to do anything, you kind of feel just kind of down. You know, that could be something that you experience within your soul, not just outside in the world. It's called desolation. So when we pray, if we feel that desolation, St. Ignatius says that you should pray longer. What does it mean? So let's say maybe you normally pray 15 minutes, right? Or maybe pray 20 minutes when you feel that. What does that do if you pray longer when you experience desolation? Then you are allowing yourself to grow in faith. Because when you do that, it's not, you're not doing it out of feeling, right? When we feel good, we do things that makes us feel good, right? And when we're praying, we feel good. We can pray for 20, 30, maybe an hour, right? We can pray. But when we don't feel good, that's when it counts the most. Because it's easy to do it when we feel good, but it's harder when we feel challenged, when we feel that desolation. That's when you are gaining merit. You mean you're growing stronger in your faith, right? Because when we do that, we are letting the crucified Jesus stay with us. Yeah. We're not saying, Lord, you know what? You're bringing this cross here. You're bringing, you know, you're bringing a crown of thorns. I'm going to stay away from you for this minute, for this hour, for this day. But our Lord wants us to hold on. We hold on to Jesus like Our Lady, even when it costs us suffering. So when you do that and you experience desolation, you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like coming to church, when you say no to the devil, get behind me, Satan, and you go and you come and you pray and you open the Word of God, when you say no to the devil, you give glory to God. Amen? You give glory to God because you're allowing the image of Jesus and His passion reveal Himself to you, right? So consolation is when we feel good. When the Holy Spirit gives us this loss of time, when we pray and we just don't realize, like, what time is it? It just, time goes by so much, so fast when we experience consolation. So the Lord gives us both. He knows when He gives us sunshine. He knows when to give us rain. But He knows we need both. We need the rain. We need the sunshine. We need times when we just experience consolation from God, when the Lord just helps us to just feel His love and His presence, when we pray and we open the Word of God, when we worship God. But there are seasons of both. And so the Lord calls us to go through those seasons with faith, ongoing faith. And the power of God is with us. The grace of God is with us. Because that oneness, when we experience the cross, will be a light to others, yes. Right? So our Lord calls us to surrender to His authority. When the Holy Spirit inspires us to pray, right? Even in desolation, when we push back the temptation, then we allow ourselves to grow. You know, St. Paul talks about it all the time. You know, he didn't only pray in church, but he didn't just pray in his community with his church family. He prayed in prison. He had chains on his arms and his hands, and he was praying. And he didn't pray any less when he was in chains than when he was free. He prayed the same, but probably, or maybe actually with more fervor, because there he's isolated, and he's not really distracted in any way. He probably was praying even more perfectly in prison, because he had the heart of Christ at Calvary. So the Lord calls us to fight through desolation, to give praise to God, not only in consolation, but desolation. And just keep coming back, you know, keep coming back to the image of our Lord. And we should always try to surrender to Him. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.